Welcome back to syndicatednews.net. As you know, we have started the Family Matters show hosted by the president of the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization and Judge Michelle LaRance, the Cook County Family Court judge, and they host Family Matters. Today we're interviewing Samuel Z. Jones, and as we speak to him, we're going to be listening in the background to the sounds of the sea just off the undercliff of the Isle of Wight in the UK. Samuel Jones is a British writer who lives on the Isle of Wight on the southern coast, just in the English Channel. And from the highest point on the island, he tells me, you can see England very clearly. He has founded the Save the Fathers Union. Samuel, welcome to syndicatednews.net.
Hi, Ruthie.
Samuel, why do groups like the Save the Fathers Union and the wider fathers' rights movement exist at all? And what are the issues that you are protesting and lobbying for? Tell us about that.
Well, the bottom line is that fathers have no legal rights in regard to their children. Fathers' role and responsibility as parents is simply not assumed in law. And when relationships and families break down, the father has no basic right to contact his children or any part in their life.
How about their education and health issues?
No, same again. Doesn't have any input whatsoever. On paper, yeah. But in practice, there's no provision for the father's input at all.
So in practice, is it always the mother who has rights to the children?
97% of the time in English cases. And that's a government statistic.
So how does this problem come about?
Well, there are several legal issues, but I'm just going to touch on one of maybe two. Basically, it goes to the root of law, which is that law is in England and very similarly in America. The law comes from three basic sources. And these are, well, the ones that concern us in this case are contract law and common law. And contract law is murder and theft are illegal because everybody basically knows that and nobody could actually argue with it. Contract law is what we all agree to individually on an individual basis. The rights of the police, the powers of the police, derive from a combination of the two. So the rights of the mother be recognised as a parent derived from common law. Nobody would doubt that a mother has rights over her child. The rights of the father, though, come from contract law, which is basically an agreement with the mother. And this is ratified in law in the signing of the birth certificate, where the mother signs the birth certificate identifying the father, giving him parental rights, and he then signs the birth certificate surrendering those parental rights to the state. And this is then certified finally by the state operative who then signs the third signature. And hey presto, dad's rights are given and taken away in one movement without him even realising. And the reason I've touched on that particular aspect of the law is that virtually everyone is completely unaware of this when they sign a birth certificate. And if you don't sign the birth certificate, you're not legally the father.
So the same document that recognizes the father's legal status also takes it away?
Exactly.
And then if the father doesn't sign the birth certificate, he's not legally recognized?
Bingo. And it's almost exactly the same in the US.
This is frightening.
Yes. Yes. Very much. And as I say, most people don't realize this. There are other legal issues, like the exact wording of the child care laws, the bills of rights regarding children, but they're fairly well known compared to this one, which is absolutely fundamental, and this is the underlying reason why lawmakers are so unwilling to move on this one, because it's a very complicated, tricky one to actually legislate, given that the problem goes back to the very roots of law.
So tell me about moving. When a mother wants to move across the country, is she able to?
In theory, in theory, I mean on paper, she has to actually take account of the father's feelings. In practice, she doesn't. And this goes to, again, the wording of the more commonly known legal statutes, which state that everything must be done in the best interest of the child. It is not assumed that the father has any role to play in the best interest of the child, whereas it is assumed that the mother does, under law. So if mum argues, I'm not happy living in London, I want to live in Glasgow, which is at the other end of the country, she can actually legally argue that her being unhappy is not in the best interest of the child, and the court will ultimately grant her permission to move to Scotland or to Australia. And again, those are actually cases that have come up. Fathers can slow down mothers moving a great distance.
Now you explained the legal origin. What about the societal history? How did this situation develop from that angle?
Well, back in the late 70s and the early 80s, there was very little provision under law for single mothers. Very little protection for them if the father just upped and left the family, or if the relationship broke down. So the government here, as well as in other countries, instituted child support agencies. You may have a different name for it in the US.
The same name.
Well, same thing then.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is basically what was to try and ensure that absent fathers still shouldered the financial obligations of supporting a child. But right from their inception, they operate on the principle that all absent fathers are errants, that they've simply abandoned their kids. And, well, whatever the case was 20 years ago, that's not the case now. That assumption is still applied to all fathers, even though a great many more relationships break down, and a great many more families are single-parent families, quite often where the mother has left and taken the kids with her, or the relationship is simply split up.
So mothers basically have full legal rights and support for the children, and the fathers have absolutely nothing?
Basically, yes. There are some provisions on paper, but in practice, the courts can't enforce them.
Agencies not work in concert with the courts to try and find the best solutions when these families break up?
No, not at all. The contact and access arrangements between fathers and their children is dealt with by the courts and the parents, and whether the father has any access is completely irrelevant to the child support agency. They're completely independent of the court. They have no consultation with them. It's assumed that the father has just abandoned his kids, and the agencies take a punitive attitude in enforcing child maintenance. In an extreme scenario, a child can be born into a single-parent family from the outset, e.g. it was a one-night stand, or the father may not even know that he had a child, and the mother can still claim financial support from him.
How common is it? Because it sounds like a rather blanket statement.
Well, that was, as I say, an extreme scenario, but there are countless scenarios. More common is where the couple breaks up without considering that they'll have to maintain contact for the next 10 or 20 years because they have a child. And the stress and upset on both sides over the breakup is just constantly refreshed. You know what it's like if you split up with someone. You need a space from them, perhaps, before you can talk to them sensibly again. But that doesn't happen when there's a child involved. They still have to talk to each other. Usually what they have to do is resort to lawyers to communicate, which brings it into the jurisdiction of the courts and the problems with the CSA that we just discussed. And basically the attitude of the mother dictates entirely how it goes. I know of some women who are not involved in child support agencies at all, and even brought court proceedings themselves to ensure the child has contact with the father. But that's very unusual. And the ideal situation, where both parents are able to put their differences aside and parent jointly, very rarely happens.
So the mother basically rules.
Yep.
So where does your own personal situation fall in this general spectrum of possible scenarios?
Mine was a rather extreme situation. I'd been with my ex-partner for 3 years. We decided to have children. Our first attempt ended in a miscarriage, which was even worse because she'd been carrying twins. We tried again, and then eventually we had Saul. And I worked from home, so I was there all the way through the pregnancy, and I was present at the birth, which lasted for 3 days. She was so exhausted by the end of it that our son barely made it through alive. And then 6 weeks later, we split up. Total surprise to me. One day we were a family, and the next I was out on the street. So I lost my son, my home, and my business, not to mention my partner, in one fell swoop. And without the help of my family, well, I'd be talking to you from a dumpster.
Do you have contact with your son?
2 hours a fortnight in a contact center.
Now, because we're Americans, many of us might not know how to measure a fortnight, so please explain.
That's 2 weeks.
So it's 4 hours a month?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And bear in mind that my ex-partner lives just outside of London, so I have a 2-day round trip to go and see my son for 2 hours every 2 weeks.
So how is it that you even got that concession?
I had to take it to court. And that was actually pretty much the most that the court could enforce. They just don't have any powers, basically. They're not going to... If she breaks a court order, they can't fine her because that's fining me. That comes out of maintenance money. And they can't send her to prison for contempt of court, because that would essentially hand custody of the child to me. Those are the only enforcement powers they've got. They won't use them. Whereas if I were to violate a court order, or just to upset the judge, I can be fined or locked up.
Now, what exactly, in England, what exactly is civil kidnap? What is that?
Well, this is actually the situation that I'm in. This civil kidnap is an extreme case of, well, one parent taking the child essentially by force. It usually involves taking the child abroad, but not always. And here we get back to the problems in law. If the father is the kidnapper, if the father has taken the child, he'll be arrested. If it's the mother who's taken the child, that's a civil matter, and if she can retain custody for long enough for the situation to normalise, then the court will ultimately award her custody. So one of the first things I did after the breakup was to ask the police what their position was, and they told me just that. If the situation were reversed, if it had been my partner telling them that she'd been thrown out on the street and had her child stolen, they'd have mounted a manhunt. But since it was her doing the kidnapping, they weren't going to take any action.
Does this aspect of your case have any bearing on contact or child maintenance?
Nope, none whatsoever. There's no legal provision for civil kidnap within the country. The authorities only take action if it's international. It's literally the case that a child can be held to ransom with assistance of court and the child support agencies enforcing the demand. I don't know how many other fathers would find this familiar, because there's virtually no recognition of civil kidnap unless it involves crossing an international border. But I suspect that there are many fathers like me who could argue that their children were taken by force, that they didn't abandon them.
Yeah.
But the law makes no distinction between this and a man who just walked out on his children. Worse, if a man actually wants to see his kids, and is forward in dealing with the authorities, it's very easy for the child support people to contact. the men who abandon their kids are much harder to track down. So it's the dedicated fathers who bear the brunt of the punitive actions of the child maintenance people, whereas they were actually formed to catch the absent fathers who've just disappeared.
Surely it's fair to assume that fathers should support their children. Is that not correct?
Well, totally, yeah, but it would help immensely if the child support agencies were integrated into the court systems, and if they didn't consider the best interests of the child as being a solely financial consideration. It would be nice, too, if they'd abide by the law, even as it stands. I mean, these agencies, certainly in England, and I understand to some degree in Europe and America, are notorious flat in their own rules and being ignorant of or outright ignoring due process. They focus on pursuing the easy cases of fathers who actually want to see their children, rather than tracking down the truly absent parents. And the only reforms that we've seen in the area of child support have been to broaden the powers of these agencies, effectively legalizing methods that were hitherto illegal.
So where do fathers' rights groups fit into this picture?
Well, with the situation being so widespread, and virtually every man I know is going through this, it's natural that these groups should form, primarily for emotional support, but also to try and lobby the government for reform. The problem is, though, that losing your kids, court battles and all the rest, to make a huge understatement, is utterly devastating. Most men are in no state to take any action or make their voices heard, and faced with the total indifference of the state, apart from the demands for money, most guys just give up and settle for whatever access the mother's willing to grant. So most of the fathers' rights groups are basically emotional and informational support. Those few that do attempt to lobby for change are so small that they just get ignored. Have you heard of Fathers for Justice over in the U.S.?
Yes, I have. What about your... I want to know about your group, the Save the Fathers Union.
Well, what we're about is trying to get the other existing groups actually talking and working together. As it stands, all the groups are independent and just have virtually no contact. They even compete for members or operate exclusion policies to keep their members away from other groups. So there's no effective action being taken on a national scale. It's all little groups of guys trying to fight it out alone. And Save the Fathers Union wants to change that. We don't think we can just walk in on the scene and take over. What we want is for these existing groups to talk to and support each other and to build towards a cohesive civil rights movement that has enough clout to make a difference.
Do you have any advice for other fathers who may not be involved with a group?
Fight your case.
Could you say that again? Say that again, please.
Fight your case. The only way we'll be heard is if we can show a genuine mass movement. Every father in this situation should be writing to his elected representatives, to the judiciary, charities and celebrities who might help. Today I wrote to the NSPCC, which is the National National Charity for Prevention of... We'll have to cut that bit. The National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. So I contacted them today to ask them about their position on this, and I'm still waiting for a response. We've got a list of several dozen groups, agencies and individuals concerned or connected with fathers' rights. And what we want is for these people to just be inundated with letters and calls, just to raise awareness of the true scope and import of the problem. There needs to be a serious realization of the need for change and the injustice in the situation as it stands. So the one thing I can say to anyone in this situation, wherever they are in the world, is fight your case. No one will do it for you. And groups are only as active or effective as their members.
And what consequences do you foresee if there's no change in the situation?
Well, the family is the foundation of society. More and more kids are growing up in broken families, and we're seeing the breakdown of society as a result. In England, the government talks about fixing Britain's broken society. I mean, that was actually a Conservative Party slogan, and they now form part of the government. And in spite of all the action by the Fathers' Rights Movement so far, and the promises and hand-wringing of the government, it's getting worse. I actually think that some people in power are actively making it worse. One of our law lords, Lady Justice Hale, is actually on record as saying that fathers should be happy with one day of contact a year. And she's not the only judge or politician to have said things like that.
So what can individual fathers and fathers' rights groups, or indeed anyone else with an interest in this, do to help?
Just get involved. Contact any fathers' rights group, talk to them, find out what they're doing and what they need help with. Urge them to talk to other groups. Individually, write to elected representatives and people in authority. The government, the judiciary, social services, health professionals. As I said, the Save the Fathers Union has an extensive list of who to contact, and there's really nothing to stop anyone contacting people who could and should be working towards change. Pretty much everyone is online now. We'd especially like to hear from larger, well-established civil rights groups who might be able to help, but anyone and everyone is urged to pitch in. Even fathers who are sunk in their own case and just need some support should get in touch. Every individual case is a skirmish in the greater fight for fathers to be established as fundamental to the best interests of their children.
It's frightening that many of the fathers that I've spoken to about this extraordinary situation here in the United States have said exactly what you said. And it's interesting that you're in different countries and the details are almost identical. What is the name of the organization? Where is the website? Give me the phone number and let's announce it now as carefully as we can so that people can contact the Save the Fathers Union. What is the email for Save the Fathers Union?
At the current moment, I mean, we're a fairly young organization. So at the moment, the dedicated email and dedicated phone number is basically me.
Okay, so, that's how many small things begin, with one person.
Yeah, so people can email me if they're concerned or they want to get involved.
Give us your email address, nice and slow, one letter at a time. First read it to us and then identify it one character at a time.
SamuelZJones@yahoo.com. SamuelZJones@yahoo.com.
Is there a website for this organization yet?
Not as yet. We're currently on Facebook. We have two pages on Facebook. We are Save the Fathers Union and The Save the Fathers Union. Or people can find those through my Facebook page, which again, Samuel Z. Jones.
Do you feel comfortable offering your phone number? You don't have to. I'm just
not really
offering. Okay.
Not really at the moment, but anyone who gets in touch with me by email.
Certainly.
Then, yeah.
So email is the way to reach you.
Yeah.
And other organizations in the U.S., and I hear Spain has horrific laws that do not help fathers at all. And a family court judge in Spain has now asked for a study to be done on just how many fathers who were wrenched and removed from their children have committed suicide, because apparently that's a very secret number that people haven't wanted to address and look at, and it's growing every day.
In England, the best statistic we have is 61 fathers who killed themselves as a direct result of harassment by the child support agency. There may be many more than that, and there may be others other suicides that have occurred sort of in the same issue but on slightly broader grounds, but specific to the child support agency, there's 61 fathers who have basically stated this in their suicide notes.
And as you explained, we're not talking about fathers who abandoned their children. We're talking about fathers who have identified themselves as dedicated fathers who want to be with their kids.
Absolutely. No one who wasn't dedicated would put up with this for more than a minute. They just wouldn't. If there was any chance that they were going to just give up and walk away, they'd do so right at the start, because this is, well, to be completely frank, the moment that you're actually told that you have to hand your child over to someone else, it feels like you're being asked to rip your heart out. Everyone instinctively understands how a woman would feel if her child was stolen. But there seems to be a disconnect for people when realizing that actually fathers feel exactly the same way, especially if you were there at the birth. I mean, if you pulled your son out into the world with your own two hands, it's terrible to have to, it's a terrible betrayal to have your child taken from you by the mother. You know, someone that you loved enough to make a child with in the first place. Someone who you thought you'd be with for years to raise a child together. The pain involved in the breakup just goes by the board. You don't even notice because you're so totally distraught by the loss of your child. It's taken me 2 years to get to the point where I'm actually able to make a coherent case to the authorities. You know, for the past 2 years, I've basically been very, very, very depressed. And I know a lot of other guys who are in that state right now, and that is, I get that response very strongly back from most of the guys that I talk to online or face-to-face about it. And that's a lot of guys.
Well, I'm recommending to other fathers in the UK, anywhere in the UK, who along with Samuel Z. Jones are suffering this way, that they come to syndicatednews.net and listen to an interview we did of Dr. James Wardner, a dentist who is suffering from the same situation you are. And I'd like you all to come to the site and listen to his interview and listen to what he's done to try to combat this, and try to contact him. We'll give you the address and email forwarded to news@syndicatednews.net will be sent to him directly, because I think it's time that we start hearing from fathers from anywhere in the world. If you're an alienated father, we'd like to hear from you. I think it would be interesting and very important to begin to talk to and hear from fathers like Samuel Z. Jones and Dr. James Wardner, and two other fathers that we're going to be talking to very soon, because it's happening all too often. And we'll soon be talking to Hugh Wright, who's a retired architect, and Patrick Perger, a disabled veteran who's also a retired policeman. We're going to be listening to those two fathers as well. And I'd like the four of you men to start talking to one another. I think there we can start there. And again, Samuel Z. Jones has an organization. He's founded an organization called Save the Fathers Union. And I think, no, it's not a local issue. It's not a national issue. This is clearly a global issue, and it's time that fathers around the world unite and talk to one another. Is that a fair statement, Samuel?
That's a totally fair statement, Ruthie. Basically, the mission statement of the Save the Fathers Union is that we just feel that men and fathers in particular are being silenced by the complete indifference of the authorities. This is just getting brushed under the carpet.
Well, in Spain, the fathers unite and protest every Thursday. I believe it's every Thursday, and I don't know what other days of the week. But it's gotten so serious, as I said, that now a family court judge is asking, he's demanding for a count of how many fathers have committed suicide. That's how serious it is. And I found a group, I was reached by a group from Brussels, Belgium, another from Osaka, Japan, Pretoria, South Africa, Berlin, Germany, from Caracas, Venezuela, Uruguay, Chile, Germany. Actually, I've had a lot of contact from Germany on this matter.
It may well be that the initial issue that we mentioned regarding the law, the father's rights being based in contract law and mother's rights being based in common law, is at the root of all of this, because some of those countries are not places that one would expect to have this problem, and yet all of these countries have a common root of law. Much of it comes from, well, basically English colonialism.
Correct. It's interesting that you said that, because I just pulled up our stat counter because I wanted to give a precise number of the countries that are coming to listen to Family Matters. And the lead country where most people come from is the United States, followed by Canada, followed by the United Kingdom. Then China, India, Sweden, the Philippines, Chile, Ireland, Croatia, parts of Europe that are not identified, and they're identified as a group, Austria, Australia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Hong Kong, Tunisia, Germany, Georgia, in Russia, Spain, and Lithuania. And that was for just 2 weeks ago. Every week we have a different set of countries, but these are the main countries, and the numbers are growing. Family Matters airs every other Wednesday, and we invite fathers to participate through Skype. You can call from any country for free, Skype to Skype. The Family Matters Skype name is Syndicated News. That's SYNDICATED NEWS. That's Syndicated News. Well, I can't thank you enough, Samuel, for joining us here on another segment of Family Matters. And it's the segment where we're just interviewing fathers and the occasional mother who might be alienated from her children. I think it's time you all talk to each other, irrespective of what country you're in. This is definitely a global issue, and we thank Samuel Z. Jones, who founded Save the Fathers Union. And anyone wanting to contact Samuel can reach him at samuelzjones@yahoo.com. That's samuelzjones@yahoo.com. Thank you, Samuel, for taking the time to call us from the Isle of Wight. We appreciate your time. We do.
I really appreciate talking to you about this as well, Ruthie. It's excellent that you're doing this too. I'm very glad that there's a radio show that's actually taking an interest in this, that the media are taking an interest, because the English media, not interested.
Well, we are syndicated news on Blog Talk Radio, and we say goodnight.
Night, Lucy.
Good night, Samuel.
Of love is on your face, a look that time can't erase. Be mine tonight. Let this be just the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and then see.